Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Appen Limited trading update. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mark Brayan, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ashley, and good morning and hello, everybody. As mentioned, my name's Mark Brayan. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Appen, and I'm joined this morning on the call by our CFO, Kevin Lean, as well as our Head of Investor Relations, Rosalie Duff. This morning, we provided a further trading update to the market. I'm sure most of you have seen the announcement, so I'll make some opening remarks and then open the call for questions. At the half year, we provided outlook commentary. As part of that commentary, we noted there was no improvement in monthly trading in July and August to date. Since Appen's half year result, there has been no improvement in August and September trading conditions. Therefore, we felt it was important to provide more clarity in terms of our full year 22 expected revenue and EBITDA. Of course, there are always challenges in providing guidance, especially when considering the ongoing uncertainty in relation to our global customer spend and the impact of economic conditions on new business. Back in August, we stated that we expect our full year 22 revenue skew to be weighted to the latter half of the second half of FY22, and that revenue is not expected to be at prior year levels due to the slowdown of our global customers. Our expectations remain unchanged, and in line with our revenue outlook, we expect full year 22 revenue to be in the range US$375 million to US$395 million. In August, we also stated that our full year 22 EBITDA and EBITDA margins are expected to be materially lower than the full year 2021. Our expectation remains unchanged and is reinforced by our recent trading data. Based on the current outlook, our view is that our full year 22 EBITDA, and this is before any impact of foreign exchange, is expected to be in the range of US$13 million to US$18 million. As we noted in our release, this is largely due to lower gross profit from lower revenue and a change in the revenue mix, specifically a reduction in some large, higher margin projects and an increase in smaller, lower margin projects. It's also due to ongoing investments in product, technology, and our transformation. We are seeing positive momentum in some areas. The global division continues to win new projects, and the project count is at an all-time high. These are generally smaller and earlier stage projects and are insufficient to offset the reduction in revenue. But it is evidence that our major customers continue to invest in AI and that they need training data. Our non-global business is building momentum too. Bookings in the enterprise business are up 22% year-to-date compared to this time last year. These projects are also smaller and generally at lower margins than our core global programs, but it also shows demand for training data outside of our global customers. We are focusing on a number of high-impact initiatives in response to the current situation, which includes accelerating productivity improvements, increasing our use of offshore facilities for project delivery, engineering and business support, and right-sizing investments to market opportunities. Importantly, we remain committed to our long-term strategy to diversify revenue and develop products that drive revenue and productivity improvements. Also, it is important to note that we have built a strong balance sheet and have no debt. And despite the current operating conditions, we remain confident in our ability to invest in and progress our long-term strategy. I'll now open the call for questions back to Ashley to manage that for us. Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Bob Chen with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Just a few questions for me. Just in terms of the updated revenue guidance, you mentioned earlier, you know, obviously no improvement in trading in August and September. Just those comments around that sort of skew to the second half of FY22, like how much of that is still in that updated guidance range, and how much of that could potentially be at risk if that sort of second half skew doesn't come through, or that fourth quarter skew doesn't come through?
I'll get Kevin to answer that one, please. Kevin?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Bob. So the forecast range that we have provided represents our best view of the current outlook and the current situation. And obviously, if there's any material change to from what we're seeing right now, well, then we'll factor that in. But essentially, from what we see right now, Bob, this is our view of how we see our full year revenue playing out.
Okay, no problem. And just in terms of, you know, we've obviously seen a series of downgrades following just slower spending from your large global customers. I mean, in terms of your discussions with your customers, are you seeing any trends or any signs that this could potentially stabilize or recover into next year, or can we expect more of these types of downgrades going forward?
Well, I think it's a similar response to last question. I mean, this is the best view we have at the moment. You know, our customers are reacting to market conditions, and we're there to support them and react to their reactions. But you know, they're doing what they need to do based on current conditions, and we're making the decisions that we need to based on the current conditions. So, as Kevin said, this is the best view we have currently.
Okay, no problems. And just the last one. I mean, looking just at your cash flows, you know, looking materially negative this year. I mean, do you expect that to sort of reverse into next year, or given you've got some cost initiatives in the pipeline as well?
Yes, so cash flow will definitely benefit from cost initiatives, which we expect to play through into next year. We obviously had our cash conversion, our cash flow in the first half benefited from receipts received early in the year relative to November, December 21 invoicing. Obviously, when it comes to the second half, we're not going to have that cover. So, you know, obviously expect, you know, working capital movements will not be as good as they were in the first half. But certainly, if we're thinking ahead to next year, if everything else stays the same, then certainly we will get a positive impact from cost initiatives onto cash flow.
Okay, thanks for that.
Your next question comes from Gary Sheriff with Appen. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Mark and Kevin. Three questions. Firstly, on those cost initiatives and your latest thoughts, are they going to be accelerated? Could we maybe just get some more details on those cost savings and where they can be extracted, and if any quantum could be provided?
Kevin, do you want to take that first of all?
Yeah, sure. So Gary, essentially the strategy and the thinking behind the cost base are unchanged from what we talked about at the half-year numbers. Obviously, we've progressed on our plans and our actions around that. But essentially, what we're looking to do here is to strike the right balance between addressing the cost base, addressing the underlying processes and how we deal with that, with making more use of offshore resources, and also aligning the investment to best outcomes and best returns, while at the same time being aware of, you know, friction on the business and on ongoing support of all of our current projects and customers. So essentially, strategy is in place, the plans are accelerating. We haven't provided any quantification as at this point, but just to reiterate what we said before, the impact for this year will be nominal. We expect the impact to flow through in 23 and also into 24.
I think the key difference, Gary, between our approach maybe 6 months ago and currently is, you know, we were taking a long view and implementing technology to automate many areas of the business. We've decided to make greater use of our offshore facilities to, you know, reduce expense in that manner, whilst also working on the automation. So
in effect, we are accelerating the cost savings that we hope to get from our automation initiative longer term by using our offshore facilities in the near term.
Okay. The next question, just on second one on strategy. Obviously, it's a fluid market at the moment. There seems to be a weight of headwinds facing you guys specifically, but I'm just trying to figure out, is there a rethink around the strategy? I mean, just given the negative jaws, you know, the headwinds you're seeing from customers and the increased cost, again, all negative jaws. I'm just wondering how long you and the board would continue on that path before changing direction.
So I think there's two pillars to the strategy that are, I think, even more urgent now, and that is to diversify revenue and also to improve productivity through the use of technology. So we're pressing in on those areas for what I hope are very obvious reasons, given where we find ourselves currently. The areas that we sort of cast our eyes to is, you know, are there revenue paths, you know, beyond our current focus on the AI life cycle and on training data for the AI life cycle. And we do cast our eyes beyond that set, but nothing sort of concrete at this point. But I think it's a fair question, Gary. First of all, that, you know, there are elements of our strategy that we need to accelerate, revenue diversification and automation and productivity. But we would also benefit from some other revenue areas, but nothing specific to point out at this point.
Okay, and just the last question on intangibles. I know we talked about it at the results. You've got about $315 million of intangibles at your last June balance sheet date. Could we maybe just talk about that, specifically, you know, risks of impairment going into December, just given what's happened, particularly over the last 6 to 12 months? If you could provide us any more just around the detail, specifically on, you know, goodwill relating to that that $315 million intangibles. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. So public comments, as mentioned last time, are still very much appropriate, and that is, if we look at really the impact of what's happening in our business right now, the impact is mainly from our global customers. When we consider that cash generating unit from an impairment point of view, there is significant headroom in that CGU. And so obviously we need to refine our 5-year forecasts, which we will do as part of our annual impairment review. But we're coming from a position of very strong buffering in that CGU, given the cash generation and growth that we've seen. So then it's, with regards to the new markets, obviously we'll also consider new markets as part of our impairment review, as part of the annual impairment review. And that will obviously be subject to, you know, the outlook over the next couple of years in terms of what we're seeing from all of those. And remembering, obviously, in there's a few different business units that contribute to that. There's the enterprise business, the government business, the quadrant business, etc. So Garrett will be informed by the view on future performance, particularly also the terminal year, obviously, as well. And we'll update the market once we've completed those reviews.
Okay, got it. So high level, I mean, is there a risk? I mean, it sounds like, in, you know, you've mentioned global customers, CGU has significant headroom. Sounds like maybe not so much in new markets. I mean, should we expect some form of impairment risk, do you think, at this point in time? Or you could just, you're pretty confident it's not happening at all come the annual review, come December?
Look, we'll have a better view once we've done that review, but I would say that the new markets view will be very much dependent on kind of where we're seeing, you know, what kind of growth we're seeing and how that's aligning with the goodwill. We are carrying a lot of goodwill in the new market segment, as a result of recent acquisitions. So obviously that will be the area that we'll be focusing a lot on.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Siraj Ahmed with Citi. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, Mark and Kevin. Just a few questions. Just first one, can I just start with the balance sheet? Maybe one for Kevin. You mentioned the balance sheet is strong, but just in the discussion right now, it sounds like free cash flow will be negative in the second half, which would take your cash balance below $40 million. I would have thought that you would need a bit of headroom given your you need to pay for these contractors and cloud workers, right? So just keen to understand, does the balance sheet strength come in that you made?
Yes, I think it's driven obviously by, you know, ongoing growth outside of the global business. You know, there's what we've talked about, there's reduction in some of the large programs, but obviously there's other programs and other activity happening global that is positive. And obviously if you consider our guidance here, we're talking about, you know, H2 revenue lifting up from H1 revenue, right, which is largely from global. So essentially we've got, you know, there's that runway into the new year together with cash savings associated with some of the cost initiatives that we're actioning at this point in time and will continue to action into the new year.
Kevin, maybe is there sort of a rule of thumb as to how much you would need in terms of working capital, cash balance?
Well, once again, it's all subject to performance. Obviously, with growth, there's more challenges on working capital. But essentially, with growth, that's positive to the business as well. So we do have working capital facilities to help us, you know, if there are any squeezes. But essentially, it's, you know, generally, you know, growth is what would cause issues with working capital, and that would be a positive sign for the business.
Okay, that's helpful. Just in terms of, Mark, just the current environment. September and October has not been there's been no improvement. But just in terms of the work in hand and the orders, have your customers cut those, or are they just saying it won't convert? Just keen to get some color on that.
Yeah, thanks, Raj. And I guess, first of all, this represents our best view of the current situation. And I think as we explained at the half, that the orders that we've got aren't converting at the same rate as previous years. So, you know, there's various treatments. You know, some of the orders remain there, but, you know, the customer acquires less data for various reasons. But I think the summary points are this represents our best view. And as we said at the half, the orders aren't converting at the same rate as they have in previous years.
Okay. And last one from me, just on the cost base, just two parts to it. Just clarifying that the guidance that you've given for EBITDA, that doesn't have sort of an FX benefit from an Aussie dollar cost base. Just clarifying that.
So I'm not sure if I understand the question correctly, but I just want to clarify the guidance we're giving around underlying EBITDA excludes any impact from FX. So essentially, as you know, we have a hedge book, which we use to hedge where we have Australian costs that we settle with US dollar receipts. And so when at the half year, we had an FX loss from that of around 1.1 million. And obviously since then, the Aussie has deteriorated. So we're not making any call outs or any speculation in terms of what's happening with that, other than to say, look, the numbers we're doing exclude that. So, in order to address that volatility there.
That's helpful. And just secondly, in terms of the cost out in this offshoring, does the offshoring impact your quality of work with the global service customers? And I know you've not quantified the cost out, but should we think like 10%, 20%, or just anything on that you can tell us on the cost out?
So a lot of the focus... Okay.
I'll just comment on the quality of the work. No, I mean, we wouldn't do anything to compromise the quality of the work. you know, historically we just haven't made as much use of those facilities as we could have. So we're just you know, ramping up the use of those facilities to take a benefit, not only the cost, but also the skills that we have there, which are growing constantly. But no, we wouldn't do anything to compromise quality. Kevin?
Yeah, and specifically further to that, yeah, the focus is a lot on functions that are not directly customer facing, you know, around reporting, invoicing, and other things that take up a project manager's time, which are not directly, as I say, to do with direct customer interaction. So once again, yes, you know, mindful of the customer experience, but obviously what we're, the areas we're focusing are on non more administrative or non-direct customer facing, which impacts PM's time. And so we are looking at significant improvements to freeing up time of our project managers as part of this function.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Kevin.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Brain for closing remarks.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks everybody for joining the call. You know, just to reiterate that you know, we are committed to the market, we are committed to our strategy, and you know, we are working hard on all fronts to deliver for our customers and for shareholders. So we thank you for your interest, and thank you for your questions as well. Thanks very much.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.